Okay, good morning to everyone. Good morning. Wonderful to see everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Well, it's a joy to be able to be here again. Oh, it's been quite a busy week this week. What were we busy with? Well, we had our junior camp this last Monday to Thursday. But believe me, the sense of energy that was drawn after that, I think people are still recovering from that whole just but it takes so much work to minister to the kids, but we thank God for a successfully concluded junior camp. Just to see the kids uplifted, encouraged, happy. You hear from them later on, you hear an item from them. It is wonderful. And you cannot but at the end of every camp, you cannot but just feel a sense of thanksgiving to the Lord. So it really takes a whole church effort to do this. Of course, one part of it, a huge part of it, I would say, is actually from the kitchen group, because they were there from morning all the way to the end of camp, meal after meal after meal, and then the children just wolf it down, they just gobble like magic, boom. No matter how much they put out, the children just eat. It is tremendous commitment on their part. So there's, of course, the junior camp committee, all of them young, but believe me, all of them at the end of the week also, they need 2 days to recover. We have the ladies of our pastoral team. Now, they're not admin ladies. They are very much part of the pastoral work as well. They look after the children and they led the camp very much. And special thanksgiving, you know, I thank God for Ben. His the way he has shown this leadership in children's work. It's a very special gift that the Lord has given to him. And I thank God for him, really. I do. And what was my part in the whole camp? Well, let me show you some photos. You'll see more later, but that's my part. This is me, by the way. that's what we put heart and soul into doing this. This is Pastor Eugene. Yeah, just to let you know. This is Jovan, you might know him. Yeah. So what were we doing here? Don't ask me what we were doing here. But we were portraying the life of William Tyndale, and of course we have to make it as engaging as possible for the kids. So okay, this another photo. Yeah. So, see, we have to take a lot of poetic license where the story is concerned. So, for example, the guy behind, that's Andrew. He shared at one of the morning worship services. His character is an amalgamation of historical characters. It's like three historical characters merged into one, and then some more added fictionalized things. But we have to do this in order to bring this through on the stage like that for the children. So, I was playing the character William Tyndale. So I'm running away from him, basically. He's chasing me for translating the Bible. Okay. And then, of course, the next one. Well, this is the last part of it, the prayer part of it. And, you know, it's such a special privilege to do this. It's not only is it a lot of joy, being able to work with a big team like that, but really just to listen to the children sing along, to see the heart stirred. I just feel very, very privileged to be able to do that. So, well, this was my little part. A lot of this comes from whose mind? The mind of Ben Kwa. He's the director. Yes, sir. So you ask him what he stresses about 1 a.m. in the middle of a junior camp, 2 a.m. cannot sleep, praying, seeking God for this kind of ideas to come. I tell you, it's a very special gift. but that is the junior camp. What a joy it was. I think it's just, you know, one part of it, the huge part of it was engaging the young. Not just the children, but the young people. And just helping them understand what it means for the heart to be stirred in serving God, to put 100% and more into every camp. And sure, you're exhausted after that, but the 4 days, you're there. You know, helping people to learn what it means to serve the Lord with all of heart, soul, mind, energy, strength. This is an experience that teaches more than words can. It is the experience of it all. So for some of you as well, your children were there. Thank you for loaning us your children for the few for those few days. I also have to thank especially Auntie Clara, actually, because she too was part of this. She wasn't acting, but she did design quite a few of the costumes you saw up there. Yeah, together with Auntie Karen as well. Yeah, so there was quite a few of them involved. Yeah, and sorry? Joanne So as well. Correct. So there was a team. SSS4 was there supporting in the background. Well, just to share a little bit about what I myself am learning about the children's ministry. You know, I come to realize that truly every child is precious. Perhaps because I'm now a father myself and my children themselves are now at the junior camp. My oldest son is there. You know, in every child there is good. You know, we must never write off, this is a naughty boy, this one is no good. That is not true. There is something good in there that we can and must bring out, that we can draw out. And the role of the children's ministry is to cultivate it, to draw it out, to bring it out. The problem is there's so many challenges. Part of it is the child themselves. Part of it is the family, unfortunately. Part of it is simply the world and the environment that they are thrown into from very young. So how do we, it's just like a seed planted in the ground. How do you help that seed grow and one day bear fruit? Right? And there are many, many challenges that come along the way, but that is where the battle lines are drawn for the children's ministry. So we must press on. We must continue. And the Lord's word says, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. He will not depart from it. So that is why we must continue to work at this. Okay, well, we're going to pray as we begin SSS4 today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray and we give you thanks for the work that you are doing in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our children. We realize just how important it is that they come to know you, that they grow up well. And we pray for them this morning and we ask that you will raise them up bit by bit, that you help them grow well. We pray for the parents. We pray for all grandparents to do their part in raising up children who will learn how to fear you and to live in a godly way. We ask for grace to be given in the name, even as we take the time to read your word once more. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, as we begin today's text, I'm going to read for you the first four verses first. Okay, and then I want to share with you a little bit more about how we can appreciate these verses. Okay, now let's look at Psalm 119, verse 145 to 148. All right, let's look at this for a moment. I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. You see, when I first read this text here, my thoughts straight away went to one person. And that will be Pastor. Because he's been writing to us quite a bit about him not being it because of medication. He sometimes cannot sleep. And he talks about a night watch. And when I read this just so described him. So what I did is I reached out to him and I said, Pastor, would you like to say a few words about this is the text that we're reading? I think you are the best person to teach this. Not that he's going to teach the whole thing, but he is going to share a little bit about his experience of these four verses especially. Okay, so I'm gonna, he's there on video. He was absolutely delighted to be able to do this. Yeah, and there he is looking very good in what you call the pink of health. But he's there he is. I'll hand it over to him.
Okay, Pastor Ben Chong emailed me on Monday, 1st June, to ask whether I could send greetings to SSS4. I told him that I would be delighted to share a few words. he felt that the text that you are studying this morning should be taught by me, because I've actually experienced this in reality. So I said no, he should carry on teaching, but I would like to share some words concerning prayer during these last few weeks especially. Prayer is something that should always be a part of our life, and nothing could be even more important than the 2 weeks that I spent at NUH. And I want to share these words with you from today's class lesson, Psalm 119, 145 to 148. Prayer must always be offered to the Lord with the whole heart. Thus, the psalmist cried out, "I cry out with my whole heart." In verse 46, "I cry out to you." And in verse 47, "I cry for help." It must always be with the whole heart. So when I entered into NUH on 11th May, this was certainly a prayer of mine. Prayer cannot but be with the whole heart. And this is important. So when we pray this way with the whole heart, can we actually experience the reality of the Lord's hearing and answering our prayers? The answer is absolutely yes. Well, when I was in hospital, I was put on very strong steroid medicine. This is to help the body to accept the new kidney that I have been given. But one of the problems of the side effects of very heavy dosage of steroids, prednisolone, 30 mg of that, is that I cannot sleep at all. So imagine night after night watching the clock go by and then realizing that you cannot sleep through the night until nearly dawn, then you doze off for a while. So I felt very much what this text was saying very, very clearly. And so the psalmist wrote, "My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word." And I want to share that this is exactly what I did, night after night, hour after hour, for 14 days. And it has been a very, very life-changing experience. To see the eyes wide awake, it is, I see this like going through the night watches. I'm on duty. I need to be praying. I cannot sleep. And then the psalmist says that I may meditate on your word. There came a special comfort, a special joy that, you know, I received as I read the Lord's word, as I meditated upon the Lord's word, as I cried out to the Lord with my whole heart, to ask him to heal me, to ask him for his help, praying always with a sense of wonderful hope in the heart and with a promise and a commitment. I will keep your statutes. I will keep your testimonies. And mercifully, the Lord heard my prayers with a whole heart, and I have been spared, and I was discharged on 26 May to return home. The road ahead of recovery is actually fraught with complications. So I need to continue to be very, very watchful. Can I sleep a little bit more now? Answer, mercifully, yes. But do I have long hours of sleep? No. But I have long now learned what it means to be focused on the Lord in crying out to him in prayer with my whole heart. So this is not a chore. This is not a problem anymore. This is just a joy, and I actually look forward to getting up, no matter what time in the night it may be. Sometimes it's 3 o'clock, sometimes it's 4 o'clock. and then to come swiftly to the Lord's throne of grace, and there begin the day with the Lord reading His Word, praying and meditating. I thank Pastor Ben for this invitation to address you very briefly this morning. And I want to say that I have missed being in class, and I look forward to one day returning to teach again. But the class has been entrusted to Pastor Ben and Ben, and I believe that they will do their very best to share with you their own understanding of the Lord's Word. Thank God for the both of them, and thank you all for continuing to pray for me as I recuperate. It will take a few months, I'm afraid, but I am trusting that the Lord, that my hope in Him, my prayers to Him will not be in vain, and the Lord will hear, and the Lord will grant grace and blessings. Thank you for praying. Enjoy the class. God bless.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, thank God for Pastor.
Well, I tried.
But you know, we must continue to pray for him because the recovery process is not straightforward. It really is not. Even now, he's still trying to get the creatinine levels a little bit lower. It is still not where it needs to be. So for the moment, he still needs very much to the time away to rest and to recover. Well, this is what he's been sharing with us, and you know, this is what we read very much in Psalm 119, 145. I mean, to cry out to God with the whole heart, right? To be there and to be able to pray like this. You know, sometimes it's in situations of life that come upon us that we end up to really praying like this. I mean, it is not an easy thing to be able to speak about. To say that the eyes are kept awake throughout the night, and then to be able to speak of that, to cry out to God, early morning crying out to God, late at night crying out to God, that is not something that happens all the time. But there are times, there are situations that these things come upon us. Yeah, and what I want to do this morning is I would like very much to keep the class in touch with some of these challenges that our own classmates are going through, just for us to get a feel of the challenges that are there. And then we learn how to just be there for each other in prayer. For Pastor, one part of it, but also for each other in the class. So I've got permission from two of our classmates today to share a little bit of their own challenges, all right? The first is, you will not have seen him for a few weeks now, that would be Uncle Yao Hong. And he actually said that he would like SSS4 to be updated as well. So what happened was that he was in China for a vacation. And then he fell, basically. But because one of his legs is not so strong, so he ended up fracturing that leg. And then he had a very bad cut. So he had to have a surgery there in China to clean up the wound, because he fell into drain water. So the bacteria and all of that, it just went in, and then he had to be cleaned up. Thankfully, insurance, he took an air ambulance from China back to Singapore. He said, this one is higher than any first class ticket. Okay, the pricing of it is absolutely horrendous. Thankfully covered by insurance, and then air ambulance back. So he's actually at NUH right now. The class has sent over to him a hamper. So the doctors over there took a look at it and said that part of the bone that he has been trying to grow for the last 15 years. So it's been 15 years of that bone growing. He said that bone is now infected with bacteria all over again. So what they had to do is, in the surgery, they actually had to extract out that bone, 8 cm of bone. So at the shin area, right below the knee there, 8 cm of bone was extracted out, just like that. So he has to regrow that bone all over again. And it's going to take at least 2 years to do that. So before that, he's still at NUH, he has to they call it a debridement, which means that you have to keep on cleaning and cleaning and cleaning until the bacteria is completely taken out of the wound area. So I went to see him and he said, it's like going back to 15 years ago. You know, he was actually getting to be fairly mobile already, you know, but then now it's like a setback 15 years all over again. See, these things happen. And he said, he cannot but feel a little bit discouraged. But you know, these are the situations in which we talk about prayer like this. That we just have to cry out to the Lord with the whole heart. I mean, what else can you do in a situation like this? What else can you do? Right? So, of course, maybe you should not have done that. Maybe you should. All of that is true. But still, the things have happened. So what do you do? But you cannot but say, 145, I cry out to God with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me. Right? I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. So there are situations, there are times that we have literally are driven to cry out to God because prayer becomes our only recourse. And that is something that needs to be understood. So for us to keep in touch with what's happening within our own class, right? The second person that I want to update you about, and Uncle Joe is with us today. Uncle Joe has given me permission to share this with everybody as well. Okay. Uncle Joe's wife, Auntie Christine, is looking at stage 4 cancer. Basically. This is a lung cancer situation. And stage 4 means to say that the cancer has already spread. So this was something that was found out in January, and the treatment is undergoing at this point of time now. Some effects. There have been some good effects, a reduction in tumor sizes, but still it's been a very, very difficult time and difficult situation. Now, to add to this, Uncle Joe also has an elder son called Mark. So Mark has a liver hardening challenge, which is, it's an autoimmune challenge, I think, an issue. And so it's been there. But recently, very recently, he has another diagnosis of a cancer for Mark. And this time it's a bile duct cancer, discovered in April only this year. And he's right now undergoing chemotherapy. How it will help, how it will really, really impact, we do not know at this point of time. But here's Uncle Joe. And he's saying that, look at it, there's two cancer patients at home. I mean, this is challenging to say the least. You see, these are situations, these are challenges where we cannot but enter into the whole spirit of verse 145. How do we pray when life is this challenging? Well, this is where we say, Lord, we have to learn to pray with the whole heart. It's got to be a wholehearted thing, and it will be wholehearted, 145. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. So this is what it is that we, as a class, what can we do? We can be there very much with our classmates. We can be there sharing in the spirit of prayer with our classmates. And we are going to be there. And we're just reminded of what it says, like, for example, in 2 Corinthians 1. It talks about being burdened beyond measure, above strength, until we almost despair of life itself. These are the challenges that come in. But what do we do in times like this? What can we do? The best thing to do is to seek God in prayer. A lot of times we will look at all the things that need to be done, the physical things alone, the medical parts of things, all the possible solutions, all the things which are good things to do. But one more thing needs to be done. It will be to really seek God in prayer with the whole heart and cry out to Him. Oh, that's something that this is where the psalm comes in like this. Right? And then we talk about the word of the Lord has to be there. 147. I hope in your word. right? 148. I meditate on your word. This becomes a season of waiting upon the Lord for all of these challenges that might be there. So this is something that we see. So as a class, one of the things we want to do is just to be in touch with each other very much, right? So one, here's a class situation, right? What do we do as an SSS4? What can we do to be in touch with each other's needs, cares, concerns, and then to be very much present to pray? Now, we may not be going through the exact same situation, but the heart can be concerned. We can enter into the feelings of, we can enter into the spirit of prayer, which is something we want very much to do. So there's Pastor there. We must continue to pray for him because he is not out of the woods. How well the body will adjust, we really don't know actually. But we must continue to seek God in prayer. How must we pray? It must be a wholehearted prayer. And then we have our classmates here who are going through a lot of challenges. How should we pray? It must be a wholehearted level of prayer that we're looking at. So this is what we want to do. And then the Word of God has to come in so that we find that sense of hope. We find that balance that is there. Because sometimes prayer can be so intense to the point that we almost despair. And that's where the Word of God has to come in, right? So that we are able to pray with that greater sense of hope that is there. So that is the first part of it, crying out to God with our whole heart, okay? But having said that, let's look at this very, very closely again. Having said that, what is the second part of what of this part? So 145, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. Okay, and then 146, I cry out to you, save me, I will keep your testimonies. What is the second part that should be there? This is where what we call a promise to keep the Lord's word. You see, at the end of the day, we must look at this text here in the light of the whole of 119. And the focus of Psalm 119 is very much on the Word of God, keeping it, making it a part of his life. So what is the psalmist saying, essentially, in his prayer? He's saying this, Lord, if you were to hear my prayers, if you were to save me out of this situation, how then will I live? Then I will live to keep the word of God. That is the challenge. You see, so there are difficulties that can come in life, challenges that we will face in life. And we can and ought to cry out to God with the whole heart. That is true. But having said that, then what's our part? And the psalmist comes in and says, I will keep your statutes. I will keep your testimonies. He says, this is his promise. If God were to see him through out of this, he's going to be there to keep the Lord's word all the way through. Right? So this is what it is. And you know, if God were to hear and really answer our prayers, the next question is, how do we live? Right? So there was a prayer that the king, King Hezekiah, made. And he said he was sick and he was sick and near to death. And so the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, set your house in order. You will die and not live. So what did he do? He went to the Lord and he prayed. It was a prayer, Lord, you remember me. Remember how I have walked faithfully, loyally before you. So the Lord said to him, your life will be extended by 15 years. Well, that's an interesting prayer to make, that you can actually pray for an extension of life. You can actually pray to be spared for more years. Well, that's what the King Hezekiah did. And he was given 15 years. But the question is, if you were given 15 more years of life, how would you live? How would you actually go about living the life that the added years that the Lord has given to you. See, that's the challenge of it all.
It's not just about asking for more years of life. It's not just asking for health. It's about, well, what then do we do with the life that we have? What then do we do with the health that we have? So this is where Pastor becomes a tremendous example for us. And he's been writing very much. If if he is very much alive and full of strength still, very much. So he's writing, I think, faster than ever. Writing now, he's already come up with pulpit themes even up to November and December already. So there he is, still very much leading the way, still strength. If I write to him, he would be there to support, to guide, to help, to lead. He is very much still there. And he talks to us about this. How do we look at a reset in life and ministry? So there might be changes that have to be made. But how do we look at a different approach towards living, but nevertheless still very much serving the Lord, still wanting to do His part, but maybe differently? So how do we make the full, the best use of the life, the health that is given? That is the challenge. So for King Hezekiah, it was 15 additional years. That is the big challenge of it all, right? The psalmist says, Lord, you see me through this. Listen, I am going to keep your word. I am going to keep your commandments. I'm going to make it a part of me. That's Psalm 119 from the beginning. That is Psalm 119 still very, very much a continuing part of him. Right? So Psalm 116, this is where the psalmist says, if you were to be delivered from death, what will he do? He says, what shall I render to the Lord for all the benefits that he has given to me? See, this is what we want to consider as we approach life. If there are challenges that are there, first, can we pray that God would cry out with our whole heart for God to hear, for God to save? Yes, absolutely. That is something we want to do. But having said that, if we are truly spared, then how then will we live our lives? How then will we use the years that the Lord has given to us? That is the next challenge, right? So this last week at the junior camp, it was wonderful to see. There was the kitchen team there. And one person that will be there all the way through to the end, that will be Uncle Teck Chai. So Uncle Teck Chai is, he wants to do things very nicely. He wants to keep things well. He wants to make sure all the cloths are washed properly, kept nicely. But at the end of the day, I look at Uncle Teck Chai, and he's the sense of, but you think again about Uncle Teck Chai. Actually, how long has Uncle Teck Chai been with us? It's not many years. It's just actually only a few years. What happened to Uncle Teck Chai that made him want to live this way? It was a cancer situation. And he could have lost his life, but no. He was given the new lease of life. And from that point on, he said, I am going to serve the Lord to the best of my ability. I'm going to be there. I'm going to live out the rest of my years in joy serving the Lord. Well, he's true to his word. Tired or no tired. And he's there, right? This is what it is. You look at life and with the things that we go through, it's not just what we go through, but how do we live life, the life that has been given to us, if God should give extension of life to us? That is a wonderful thing to be able to think about. Many of you have been writing, sending in your testimonies for the booklet, which is coming. It's going to be done up. I remember this one's testimony, especially this is from Auntie Michelle and Uncle Beng Ho. And they celebrate 2026, 10 years. 10 years since the aortic dissection happened in 2016. And Auntie Michelle wrote on behalf of the two of them to say, and he's gone through two other open heart surgeries since then. But these 10 years have been just absolutely wonderful years. Because it's been years of being able to testify, speak of the Lord, and years that been able to see, they've been grandparents seven times over, they say. So sometimes I see Auntie Michelle in the parents' room, say, wow, you are a young mother. And there she is together with all the young mothers looking at, why? Because so many grandchildren. So she said, I want to support. Sometimes it's Uncle Beng Ho. Say, hey, Uncle Beng Ho, you're here. Say, yeah, no choice, I'm on duty. But the joy that they obviously have and the love they obviously have, they said, 10 precious years, 7 grandchildren, seeing the children get married and said, the Lord has been so good to us. 10 years. It's wonderful to be able to look at life like that. Right? So first, yes, there will always be challenges, difficulties, problems in life. Always. What recourse do we have? God. To be able to pray, to be able to go back to God's Word, to steady the heart and mind on the Lord. Because otherwise, what then do we end up with if we don't have the Lord? We end up with depression. We end up with anxiety. We end up cannot sleep. We end up with all kinds of problems. We can sink very much into a despair. And very often the problem is never just physical. The half of the battle is actually up here in the mind. And we can end up that way. So what recourse do we have? The best thing to do is, like it says here, we pray. We cry out to God with our own whole heart. We take the Lord's word. We hope in it. We meditate on it. That is the best. I think the best example of that is our own pastor. And he is there, strong, refused to be disheartened in any way, persisting very, very much. And having said that, then what? How then do we live? And I like this second part of it. I will keep your statutes. I will keep your testimonies. This is his promise to God. And that's a wonderful way to be able to look at life. To be spared from life-threatening illnesses, to be spared literally from death. How then do we live? In the keeping of God's word. In the service of the Lord. In living well for the Lord. That is a wonderful, wonderful challenge. I look at Uncle Jensen and I remember Auntie Annie. See, Auntie Annie Ho used to be my neighbor. We literally lived opposite each other at the time. So I know them fairly well. Remember the time when she almost lost her life too. And there we are spared from these things. How do we live? Live for the Lord. Live keeping God's word. Live making God's word a part. Live proclaiming God's word. That is the best way to be able to look at things. Right? So there comes that promise of keeping God's word. Right? And then we move on to that next part of it. Okay? 149 to 152. And here comes a prayer that is worth making. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. We all need to make prayers of revival. When we suffer, when we go through challenges and difficulties, we must pray for revival all the time. I think we all need revival much more than we imagine. If we were to look at Psalm 119, the number of times he prays for revival, it is many, many times. In fact, in the section after this, there will be many prayers of revival that the psalmist would make. We need that revival. That's why we have camps, right? That's because we need that time for prayer. We need that time where God's word, it becomes something that we can meditate on. And then bit by bit, that revival can come to our hearts. So if you were to pray for your classmates, what would you pray for? One of the best things to pray for. Obviously, we pray for grace and mercy, grace. But after a while, you pray for grace and mercy until you don't know what to pray for. So what do you pray for? Pray for a revival. Revival of heart, revival of spirit, revival to be able to face whatever challenges will come the way. That is an important and worthwhile prayer to look at. How do we know that revival has come? This is where we read verse 150. Okay, they draw near who follow after wickedness. 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. This is where how we know that the heart is revived. When we can sense the nearness of the Lord. And truly, when the Lord is near, there are many, many things that we can face, we can overcome, if we just are able to sense the nearness of the Lord. I mean, it is incredible because, you know, this week, playing this character called William Tyndale. Of course, a lot of it was up there, part of it singing, part of it dancing. But the part of it that I always find especially challenging is that last part where the character dies. In this case, the character did die. In fact, William Tyndale was burned at the stake. Now, of course, it does not mean they went to burn me. When I put it up, that would scare the children. That's not what it is. But one of the things that I try to do is just try to enter what did the character think and feel. It is incredible to think about that. What makes a person languish in jail for months? Cold like anything. Dark, damn, sick probably. Right? Still wanting to translate Hebrew Bible. And then refuse to recant his life's work. Refuse. Want to say, just say that you recant, you repent of all these things, you'll be given a lighter sentence. No. And then able to go to whatever fate awaits him. And in those days, it was the burning at the stake. Can you imagine what that is? You ever tried to, you ever burn yourself? Like birthday candle or something? Just, wow, it's so painful. Just a little bit of that only, we all, wow, it's so painful. Or burns that happen along the way. Can you imagine willingly being there and being burned? For those prisoners who are a little bit more, higher type, they actually don't burn them direct. They actually kill them first before burning them. But there are some who would literally just be burned like that. Can you imagine what makes a person able to face things like that? And William Tyndale wasn't the only one. There were many martyrs in those days who went willingly to the stake for their faith. What makes them able to do that? And I think that it has something to do with what it says in 151. Somehow, God is just felt to be very near and close. You can't fully explain that. But there has to be. Somewhere, somehow, the Lord is just so real at the moment of time. And then they're there and they have tremendous courage and fortitude to just face whatever it is. So the final prayer of William Tyndale, it was said before he died, was this: Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And then King Henry VIII, shortly after that, reversed his position and allowed the English Bible to be in the land. Subsequently, King James with the King James Version, and now we have the New King James Version here. What is it that makes people able to live for the Lord like that? Somewhere, somehow, the presence of God is just near and it just strengthens them tremendously. This is what revival is. So how do we face our challenges? One, thankfully, we have this thing called prayer. Let prayer always be with the whole heart. Let prayer be something that we turn to, like Pastor says, not a chore, but something that, a way that we can just connect with the Lord and find Him very near, very dear, and very close. How do we pray? One of the best things we can do is to make this promise to the Lord. Lord, if you were to see me through this, that I am going to live for you. And many of us have gone through things like that, that our lives have actually been spared. So what then do we do with the time that remains for us? Well, some people like to go and eat. Lots of people like to travel. Time. What do we do with the time that is given to us? One of the best things to do is say, Lord, I just want to live for you. I want to make every day count for you. That is what it is. You know, time is truly something that is precious. And if we're not careful, it just runs away from us very much. This week, after the junior camp, we had Friday. And so Pastor wrote to say, take a day off, take time to reset, refresh. I took my elder son out for a short while because I just need a bit of one-on-one time with him. So we were there at the zoo. And my older son loves animals. He has always loved animals from young. He in the past he liked to line them up. So he has a lot of these figurines. Then he will line them up bit by bit. And always loved. So I just brought him there and I watched him. And still very much a child, still, but different in some ways of too. Because he was instead of just running past to feed the animals, he will now observe them. He will observe their behavior, see, and then he will read the signs. This one critically endangered, this one. And then for me, it was just looking at him and just realizing, wow, how the time has flown. You know, he's 8 years old now, he's at the junior camp now. We can talk about the junior camp, he can talk about sketch, we can talk about all these things here. But 8 years, and how the time has flown, just see him grow up like that. And in my heart, obviously, I just feel deeply happy and joyful about that. Time. You know, if God were to give you time, what would you do with that time? And for me, my commitment is I just want to be there to serve the Lord. I'm just grateful for the life that God has given to me. He's given to me children. He's given to me family. You know, and Pastor wrote to me also to say, because I'll be taking a bit of time off next week. He said, family time is precious too, you know. Take it. Take that time. Be with them. Time. What would you do with the time that is given to you? And one of the best things we can do is say, Lord, I am going to keep your word in my heart. I am going to live for you. I'm going to do all I can to speak of you, to speak of your word. And that will be a wonderful challenge too. And how do we go about praying? Well, a prayer for revival is something we must make, right? Whether it's for ourselves, perhaps there is someone that you can pray for. And we must be concerned for each other. We must pray for each other. That the Lord will be there, that the Lord will be near, that the Lord will be dear, and that the Word of God will always be something clearly established, founded in the heart and in the mind. If we can do these things, then I think this is a wonderful way to approach our challenges. So very much in line with what we have been reading about from 2 Corinthians 1, and we start a new series this week from Psalm 34. What do we want to do? Well, thank God we can pray. There is the Word of God and we have each other. And that is where we find tremendous strength from. Okay? Well, let's pray as we close. Father in heaven, we come to you. And this morning, our hearts especially go out to our own classmates who may be struggling, who may be undergoing a very hard time right now. Lord, first we pray for our own dear pastor. We pray and ask that you would continue to grant to him mercy, grace, that most of all, your presence will be felt very much by him. We pray for our classmates. We pray for Uncle Joe. We pray for Uncle Yao Hong. We ask that you would draw very close to them, that you would bring about a revival of heart and spirit to face whatever challenges lie ahead of them. And we ask that as we look at life and how we want to live it, that we will be challenged deep in our own heart to live, to keep your word, to live for you, to live as meaningfully as we possibly can. Lord, that this life that you have given to us may truly redound to your praise. We ask that you would bless and that you would strengthen and that our own hearts will be, spirits will be stirred and revived. We ask for your grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.